1400 AM and 96.9 FM present The Talk of Emporia, bringing you local issues, topics, and events of the day.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome into The Talk of Emporia. Tegan Trehune is your host here today. Talk of Emporia, of course, being brought to you in part by Newman Regional Health, offering more medical specialties and convenience than ever before. That's Newman Regional Health and Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Don't trust your catering to just anyone. Get someone that has the experience to make your event a success. Call Bobby D's today to book your event. Well, today on The Talk of Emporia, he's actually been on our airwaves quite a bit the last few days. We've had transient guest tax increases. We had him on a little while ago with a Q&A with Trey. We've had a lot of exciting things happening in downtown Emporia. He is Visit Emporia Director Leland Danes, but today he's actually here representing a different organization, of course, Emporia Spanish Speakers, the director of that as well. And, well, first of all, congratulations on all the titles.
Well, thank you. And a lot of hats to wear to cover this bald head of mine. So.
Hey, you know, that's what we have to do when we have no hair on the
exactly.
top. But we get all the stylish hats. But we are talking about Emporia Spanish Speakers today, and there's a lot of exciting news, just like there's a lot of exciting developments across downtown Emporia, bringing people in to Emporia. There is a lot happening at the local level to increase inclusivity and acceptance within Emporia, too. And Emporia Spanish Speakers is, I think, playing a very important role in that, along with other organizations like Hispanics of Today and Tomorrow and so many others. And Leland, first and foremost, congrats on the success.
Well, thank you. You know, it always feels in the moment like it's not enough, you know, or that the progress is not happening as quickly, perhaps, as you might want it to. But when I do sit back or when I share with someone like yourself and we really talk about, which we're going to get into, the things that we've done, the things that we're doing, it is pretty extraordinary. And so I'm very proud of where we've come, the team that we've built around us here to help support this type of work, the other community partners, like you mentioned, in Hispanics of Today and Tomorrow, of course, partners like the City of Emporia, our healthcare network here in town, really just everyone, our education. Leaders, everyone is very supportive of this mission that we're after.
Well, that mission is really starting to grow and develop into new opportunities. And before we kind of talk about one of the really exciting pieces of news, could you just let everybody know, when did Emporia Spanish Speakers officially begin?
Well, officially it would have started in 2016, but admittedly back then it was relatively small. It was a small social group I started purely for the opportunity to practice my own Spanish language skills. I recognized that there were no opportunities for me to go practice speaking in a safe, comfortable environment. Because when you're a beginner, when you're beginning to learn a second language, speaking with native speakers of that language is very intimidating. Especially at that time, I didn't have a lot of friends that spoke Spanish, and so the only opportunities were at like a local restaurant or things of that nature. But they're not there to be my language partner. They got a job to do, right? And so that's not the right time or space to have that. So I wanted to create a space where the community could come together to practice language skills with other like-minded learners.
You know, I speak two other languages, German and French, and the hard thing there is, kind of like you said, it's hard to find people that you can just kind of sit there and kind of work it through with, because you do feel like when you are maybe trying to speak in their native language, whether it's a waiter or somebody who runs a business or something like that, you feel sometimes you might sound condescending. That was my fear anyways, was I'm trying to say the words correctly, but if I don't sound correct, it sounds like that typical American just kind of going like, well, hola, happy to see you, my friend. Like, and it feels weird.
So many doubts and fears that run through our heads. And it's interesting because there's so much of our communication is nonverbal. And when you're trying to verbalize a language that's not your primary, there's so much nonverbal stuff that's going on purely because you're nervous and you're scared and you don't know what you're saying exactly. And so it really just amplifies what is already an awkward interaction. It just makes it 10 times worse.
you have that 99% surety. I know what I'm saying. And it's that 1% is like, oh gosh, I didn't know. I hope I didn't just like insult their whole family. Like I've gone through that a few times where I just sat there. They had to sit there for a minute. It was the accent, not the pronunciation. It wasn't the words. It was the accent. They looked at me. I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I just like insulted their entire family going back six generations. I mean,
So that was the foundation. That's why I created this this little opportunity. At the time, of course, I wasn't thinking about a nonprofit. I wasn't thinking about a business. But that's where we are today. And in fact, I'm happy to announce that Emporia Spanish Speakers recently received our 501c3 letter from the IRS. And we feel, not that we haven't been official up to this point, but we feel very official now. And we think this status is going to help us move forward into some of the work that we want to get into.
Well, you mentioned since 2016, it kind of started as a social group. Now it's the latest nonprofit organization here in the city of Emporia. Can you talk a little bit about what that means, that this idea has grown into a full-blown outreach program where people can feel included and accepted?
Well, for me personally, there's definitely some degree of validation. I mean, the recognition that we're receiving, the 501c3 status is all validation that the thoughts I was having, the conversations I was having with people who were saying that there were needs for some of the things that we're doing, that life might not be as wonderful for all in Emporia that it was for me at least, or and others like me, namely around being able to speak English, right, language access. And so it is for those reasons that we started to do more than just be a social club. So to be where we're at today is validation that the work was needed, that it's been necessary, and that others are looking at what we're doing and saying, how can we do that in our community? So it keeps us going, right? It keeps because there's always those moments of, this is a lot of work. What am I doing? Who am I to even be doing this work? A lot of just fears and insecurities, but it's these types of things that remind us that this work is needed, it's appreciated, and we're going to keep on keeping on.
So I got to ask, can you say in Spanish, we are a 501c3?
Sí, somos un negocio sin ánimo de lucro.
I love it. I love it. That's fantastic.
I get a lot of requests now for
Wednesday. You
prove
got
it. Yeah, prove it.
Wednesday.
Can you speak Spanish?
We had the proclamation for Welcome Week in Emporia, and they said, can you now read the proclamation in Spanish? It's like, I'm going to let that one slide. Smart choice, I think.
Yeah.
So I do have to ask, with Emporia Spanish Speakers, being a 501c3 now, how does this allow you to expand your offerings, and what are some of the things that you think you can expand on in terms of teaching the language as well as the culture?
Yeah. Well, for us, it's more of an administrative change. It doesn't really change the programming we've been doing. It doesn't change the programming we were hoping to do. It's more a function of our autonomy as an organization, not being dependent upon any type of umbrella organization for our funding. Most of this status change for us changes just how we're able to move forward in receiving funds. And again, a lot of that centered around our ability to be autonomous, to plot our own path forward and be able to pursue that without being dependent upon someone else sheltering our money and being dependent upon that relationship. And those relationships are fantastic. But again, it's just nice to be able to receive direct donations, to decide for ourselves where we want to place that money, how we want to spend that kind of stuff. So that's the big change in that respect. As far as programming and all that stuff, we have been, my board and I have got a board of five. They are phenomenal. I have to brag on them a bit. The entire board is Hispanic Emporia community members. Four of the five are under 30 years old, and four of the five are female. And so you talked about that inclusivity and that representation that was very important to us and very intentionally constructed. We wanted youthful leaders. We wanted to give experience to those who were hungry to serve their community but didn't necessarily know how or weren't necessarily getting the opportunities in other arenas. And so sometimes you just have to create your own space if no one else has given it to you. And I think that's kind of what Emporia Spanish Speakers has done. And now that we've kind of taken that space for ourselves, now we're going to try to knock down some of those barriers that might be preventing others from finding opportunities to serve in ways that they might be interested in. And make no mistake, some of those barriers are sometimes internally perceived. Sometimes it's fears that we have that we can't go serve in a certain capacity or be in a certain position. Not necessarily that someone else is telling us we can't.
Well, and you mentioned that you're also getting to extend your reach and the ability to show people what you have to offer. that's not just locally now. That's on a national scale as well, because some more exciting news there is Emporia Spanish Speakers was selected as one of the six organizations to showcase basically your bridge-building innovation. Now, can you explain kind of where that distinction came from and who selected you for that?
Yeah. So to talk about that, we kind of have to talk about Welcoming America first. So in line with that recognition, at the start of 2023, Emporia Spanish Speakers was one of 10 organizations selected nationally to take part in Welcoming America's Rural Welcoming Initiative. So Welcoming America's objective is to help communities be more inclusive, to be more welcoming to all people, especially immigrants and refugees. And so that was a great honor to start the year off, and that helped shape some of the work we've been doing this year and where we'll be going beyond. And it was through Welcoming America that we saw this opportunity for, I believe this was coming out of Stanford University, they were offering a showcase. They wanted to highlight entities that were building bridges in their communities. And I thought, well, that's precisely what we're trying to do here at Emporia Spanish Speakers. We're trying to bridge that gap between our English-speaking community members and our growing Spanish-speaking community member population. And so we applied to be a part of this showcase, and we were one of six. So a very limited and very competitive pool, and we were able to tell about what we're doing here in Emporia, and they loved it, and they said, we want you to come share with others what you're doing in the hopes of inspiring other people to do something similar in their communities.
Well, and what I like about this is that it's showcasing growing organizations, things that are developing. It's not things that are fully developed that have been going on for, decades and centuries. They're showing not only the welcoming of the country, but they're showing the innovation
Correct.
Of those communities.
Well, and it's going to take innovative strategies. We certainly can't keep doing what we've always done that hasn't been working for a variety of reasons. So, and the innovation doesn't mean earth-shattering all the time. Sometimes it's a very simple solution, but it just means having the courage to do it in the first place. And I think that's something that we've been doing here alongside with, again, entities like Hispanics of Today and Tomorrow. And it's not just building that bridge, but then having the courage for both parties that are on opposite ends to cross that bridge, meet in the middle, and figure out ways that we can be a little bit more involved as a community with one another.
I like that you mentioned that, though, having the courage to do it in the first place. I feel like over the last, I'd say, 23 years, really, since the early 2000s, the courage to try something has been one of the building blocks of our community. If Jeremy Rusko doesn't decide to start selling discs on eBay, we don't probably have dynamic discs in one of the biggest disc golf tournaments in the world. If you don't find your bikes and decide to start a small race, we probably don't have Unbound at this point in time. If you don't decide that you want that safe place to go and speak with other people who are trying to learn a language like you are, we don't have the latest 501c3 organization. I mean, it seems like Leap of Faith is something that is synonymous with Emporia and Emporians.
Yeah, I often think about our Pride Parade and the Pride celebration. And I still to this day, I remember thinking very clearly how excited I was that in 2021, Emporia was going to have a Pride Parade and a Pride celebration. And then immediately feeling somewhat sad that it took until 2021 for Emporia to have a Pride celebration, And so that's a great example. I think all people are just seeking acceptance and visibility. We want to know. We want the world to know that we're here and to acknowledge our existence, right? And we want to be treated with the same kindness that all people are. And so that's what something like a Cinco de Mayo or a Pride celebration or a Dia de Muertos, it's about sharing who we are with the rest of the world and the hopes, having the courage to hope that everyone will accept us for who we are, regardless of what language we speak, regardless of what country we come from, regardless of who we love. That we want to be seen and validated, acknowledged, accepted for who we are.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about some of that visibility once we take our first break here on the Talk of Emporia and come back from that. Again, Tegan Chahoun joined here in the KVOA studios by Director of Emporia Spanish Speakers, the latest 501c3 nonprofit organization here in the city of Emporia. Leland Danes joining us here. We'll be taking a quick time out. We'll be right back with more on the Talk of Emporia, which again is brought to you in part by Newman Regional Health. Quality health care close to home. That's Newman Regional Health.
Feeling sick? Have a minor injury? Insect bite? A cough? Cold? Or a sore throat? If you need same-day medical care, Newman Regional Health Medical Partners Express Care is open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on weekdays and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on weekends. No appointment is necessary. Just walk in. Express Care is located at the southwest corner of the hospital next to the emergency room. For more information, visit newmanrh.org/express or find them on Google.
Your Kansas City Royals play here. KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Back on the Talk of Emporia this Friday morning, Tegan Trahoon joined by the director of Emporia Spanish Speakers. If you haven't already heard, the newest nonprofit 501c3 organization here in the city of Emporia. And Leland Dane's joining me, of course. And Leland, just real quick, wanted to ask, when exactly did the 501c3 status come down?
Well, it's kind of interesting. It was actually approved May 31st, but the IRS failed to notify us. We reached out to a partner that had been helping us through that process, and I said, hey, we haven't heard anything. I know it can take a while. And they go, oh, let us check. And like, oh, you've been approved since May 31st. It's like, oh, well, that wouldn't have changed much, but would have been good to know. So we only found out 2 weeks ago that we have been a 501c3 nonprofit since May 31st. But at any rate, it's really exciting, and like we were saying earlier, will allow us to grow as an organization, to plot our own course, and hopefully expand and keep spreading our message.
You had said not a lot changing structurally wise or program wise. It just allows for more funding and things like that, and different avenues to secure that funding.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, you know, before we took our first break, we were talking about visibility equaling acceptance. And we talked about that before we came on the air. You know, you mentioned the Pride Parade. You mentioned Cinco de Mayo, Dia de los Muertos, events that I remember when they first started, a lot of people were asking a lot of questions about it. You know, what's this going to entail? You know, what's this like? What's this about? I remember talking to Patricia Sanz Reyes and Sally Sanchez at one point when they announced the first Dia de los Muertos. And the thing that they had said was, people have asked a lot of questions. And I said, how do you feel about that? And they go, we're so happy. They're asking the right questions.
Yeah.
What is this? What's the purpose? What's the meaning? What's the point? You know, how do we get involved? What can we do? And the question that somebody, I think it was Patricia, had said to me that she loved was, what can we do and what should we not do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we celebrate with you without overstepping our bounds and coming across as offensive? And Leland, I think you and I, we talked about this earlier too. That is not a question we would have gotten, I want to say decades ago, but it's probably not a question we would have heard 5 years ago.
Yeah, and I echo what Patricia and Sally were saying. You asked them, how do you feel that people are asking questions, and they were happy, right? Because the absence of questioning means there's an absence of connection. If people are not having conversations, and let's call them somewhat difficult or even awkward conversations, because they can be, right? To talk to somebody about what can be perceived as sensitive things like your cultural beliefs, you know, just your ideologies and what makes you who you are, that kind of stuff can be and sometimes for some people sensitive. I don't mind asking or being asked those questions, but at any rate, if people are not having those conversations, it means they are not connecting with one another. And that, as to go back to the point, that's what we all long for, is connection within our community, right? We want to feel accepted within that community, and that's where it starts. There's a lot of conversation out there about coming to the table, the proverbial table, to have those kinds of conversations. People who have differing viewpoints to sit down face-to-face, recognize the humanity in the other person across the table, and have a somewhat difficult or awkward conversation. So I'm not insinuating that all of those interactions were necessarily awkward or difficult, but the mere fact that they were taking place is the whole point.
Well, and I would argue that the awkwardness or difficulty is based on the person who is asking the question.
Sure.
Because I think that there are a lot of people who like to be asked questions. I know, only speaking from my experience, you know, as part of the LGBTQ community, I like it when people ask me questions about my sexual identity and things like that, because it means they want to know. But I also think it goes to how you ask that question. If you ask it in a way that sounds condescending or meant to insult, that's the way it's going to be taken.
You can pretty easily tell the genuineness of someone's interest.
And it usually starts with, "Do you mind if I ask you?"
Yeah.
"Do you mind if I ask?"
Yeah.
You know, sometimes other people, you'll just see them come up and they'll just kind of ask the question, and it's just like, "Well, I know that wasn't genuine." Like, it's not hard to, like you said, it's not hard to snuff out.
Permission doesn't hurt, you know. Just asking someone, "Are you open to sharing? Are you open to talking about? Mm-hmm. Can I ask you about
this?"
Ask this
question.
And I think it's not always said, but it's implied when someone is taking that approach, like you just said, it means I want to get to know you. That's mm-hmm. what we're asking, mm-hmm. is I don't know who you are or what you're about or what you think, and I want to know you better.
I think it's also, to an extent, it's also on the person who's being asked the question to – sometimes people will ask a question and you're not sure how they mean it. I think it's all in how you deliver it. You know, if somebody wants to ask it in a rude way, deliver the answer in a polite way or a positive way, which – listen, I'm the last person that should be preaching about self-control. But, I mean, you know, I think it's also in how you deliver it. You know, the old saying, kill them with kindness.
Yeah, and it's important to note that not everyone is an extroverted, open, sharing person that wants to talk about these types of things.
Very true.
And that has to be respected as well. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that you don't try again with someone else. It just means that person in that moment wasn't open to talking about whatever it is you wanted to inquire about. Yeah. And it's not their obligation to answer your questions just because you have them.
But the other thing, too, is sometimes I know I've had that experience where someone just didn't want to talk, didn't want to chat. Totally fine. But it definitely made me nervous to go up to the next person and ask. And, you know,
that's that courage, right? It takes the courage on all parts.
You literally took the words out of my mouth. That was the point I was going to go to. But go ahead. I'll just sit here. I'll just be here.
I have nothing to expand upon that. It takes courage for all of us, both parties, to have these are courageous conversations. Right? These sensitive subject matters. And it really takes that courage. And I go back to when I started this whole thing. This all began because I was practicing Spanish in my own home. And the moment that came when I was going to go to the restaurant, I was going to practice, I didn't have that courage.
Yeah.
I was petrified to talk to a native speaker, especially in their place of work. I knew it wasn't the best setting, but it was the only opportunity I knew of at the time of how to try to make that interaction happen. And so we all start there. I think that's, I guess, for the listeners, if you're trying to take something away from this, it's okay to be afraid.
Yeah.
And courage is not the absence of fear. It's choosing to do something even though you are afraid, right? Yeah. That is what courage is. Not being afraid, but being a little bit timid or afraid of it. And I'm going to do this anyways because I believe it's the right thing to do.
I feel you on that, though, because I remember I went up to Toronto back in July, and they had some French-speaking residents there. Granted, Canadian French and traditional French are a little bit different. I went and wanted to order and flex my French muscles a little bit. I got up to that counter. I was ready to go, and I started to speak, and I just went, the words just wouldn't come out. And it helps when the person that you're trying to speak to as well sees that you're trying to make the effort.
Oh, yeah.
And they encourage you. And I think a lot of people, they'll be surprised to find that when you are making the effort to interact with somebody in their native tongue, they're actually very helpful and are willing to be patient and even in some cases help you along. And I think that goes for Spanish speakers, non-Spanish speakers. I know we have a lot of people that come through here through the university who their first language is not English. And, you know, at least all the experiences I've noted in the last few years, everyone's very helpful at explaining. I don't think that's the word you meant. I think what you meant was this. And without being condescending.
I hope that can help alleviate someone's fear. If this is something you've been thinking about, maybe you've even been practicing a second language, but you've been afraid to approach someone. Again, I go back to everyone seeking acceptance. And when we talk about, like we're talking about Spanish speakers in our community, they're seeking that acceptance here in Emporia, here in the United States, here as a Emporia, Kansas resident. And so when you make that effort, it means the world to the vast majority of them. So I hope that helps alleviate people's fear, is the understanding that this group of people would love it if you would attempt to connect with them in a language they understand.
I want to talk about that point here a little bit, give kind of the devil's advocate approach. But before I do that, I do want to ask another question. That is, you know, we've had a lot of people. I'm going to give her a shout out, Anita Valdez, who used to work for us here, handling our Spanish programming and things like that. Anita would always apologize if she messed up a word, if she said something wrong or anything like that. And my question is, do you think that's ever really necessary? If a language is not your first language, and maybe you stumble or fumble a little bit, do you think it's necessary to apologize for struggling slightly?
Personally, no. Yeah. I don't think it's necessary, but
good luck
getting us to stop apologizing.
That's
right? Because I still do that sometimes. I know if I get to stuttering over words, or if I can't, oh, sorry, disculpa me, you know, perdón. But at the end of the day, we make mistakes daily in our native languages. I don't speak correct English.
I don't think anybody does anymore.
Correct. And with that in mind, it's not about perfection. It's not about the absence of errors. It's about the intention of communicating and connecting. Yep. So we've got to get this. And I do partly blame the old way of teaching language, which was, or you know, it's about memorization of vocabulary and testing for comprehension, right? Mm-hmm. And it was not about communication.
Yep.
It was about testing on grammar knowledge and rules, and that's not how we interact in language in our daily lives. So we've got to push that concept out of our minds and say, my purpose is not to be perfect, it's to communicate with you and to be understood.
And see, I'm actually glad that you bring that up, because I remember taking Spanish in middle school, and the issue, this is the funny thing, I always laugh about this. I was one of two non-Spanish speaking students in that class out of 22, and two people passed that class.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, it was because of how it was taught. It was not about greeting your neighbor or having a conversation with somebody or finding your way, say, if you get lost in you know, anywhere in South America. It wasn't about how you can communicate in different ways. It was all about how you write it, read it, and everything like that. And while educational and helpful, I mean, it definitely is, I don't think it's practical in a lot of ways.
I am happy to report that pedagogy is changing a bit. Certainly right here at Emporia State University, there is a greater emphasis on speaking. You know, and I'm not saying there's not a time and a place or a desire for some people that really want – I mean, I'm a nerd for words.
Well,
right?
It's just like English class in high school.
Yeah.
You know, we got to learn how to properly
there's
write,
a place
read.
For that.
Yeah.
But you just have to evaluate as a language learner, what is my intention? How do I want to engage in this language? Do I want to know how the sentences are constructed? Am I excited and interested in that component of it, or do I purely just want to communicate colloquially with people in the streets? And perhaps it's a mix of the two. I mean, it could be any number of scenarios, but we just have to make sure that our tools that we're using to learn are advancing us in the direction we want to go in that language.
I like that. We're going to take our final break here on the Talk of Emporia. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Director of Emporia Spanish Speakers, Leland Danes. I think we've got still a lot to talk about, and well, hopefully we get out on time, but Leland and I have proven that we can turn a short conversation into a marathon event, so we'll see what happens here in the next few minutes. But as for now, I just want to remind you, Talk of Emporia is being brought to you in part by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Don't trust your catering to just anyone. Get someone that has the experience to make your event a success, and call Bobby D's today to book your event.
It's steak night every night at Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Great tasting steaks are now on the menu every day at Bobby D's. Each steak is aged to perfection and hand cut to order. Of course, they still have those tender, juicy, fall off the bone ribs, as well as the best smoked meats in the Flint Hills. Convenient carryout is available. Call 342-1990. Check out their specials on Facebook. Restaurant hours are 11 to 8, Monday through Saturday. Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, where it's all about the meat.
Win three large Gambino pizzas in the At Work Network. Details at KVOE.com. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Back on the Talk of Emporia this Friday morning, Tegan Trehun joined by Leland Danes, the director of Emporia Spanish Speakers, having, as Leland just said before we came on the air, and I 100% agree, a very fun conversation here the last 30 minutes or so. As, again, Emporia Spanish Speakers, for those of you that might just be joining us, as the latest 501c3 nonprofit organization within the city of Emporia, just 2 weeks ago, found out the status had been granted back in May. So it's actually been a little longer than 2 weeks, but nonetheless, very exciting news there, which means a lot of validation, as you mentioned, Leland, but also a lot of avenues to additional funding to help with programming and the like. And I want to talk about programming here shortly, but yeah. I had mentioned there was a question I wanted to ask, and I'm only asking this question from the devil's advocate side because, you know, I'm a firm believer. If you're going to understand a full argument, you got to see both sides of it. And while I may not agree with it, I still want to ask. You know, you had said we should make the effort to learn and to expand our horizons, especially when it comes to language, you know, so everyone can feel more inclusive. There's the argument that we hear very frequently, I think less frequently maybe now than we did, say, 5-10 years ago, but it was, you're in America, learn American, which ironically is the silliest sentence I've ever heard. But we're in America, we speak English, and there's still some people that live by that. You know, how do you respond to that? And do you think that if we're going to make the effort to learn someone else's language, that they should be obligated to learn our language as well, and vice versa?
Well, I think to answer that, we need to quantify it with, or qualify it rather, we should, if. And I think that if brings in some interesting components, because far be it from me to tell anyone how they should live their lives, right? At the very least, as long as we're all respecting the golden rule and treating others as we hope to be treated. Beyond that, for the most part, learn a language or don't. That's your own choice in life. But I would say we should learn another language if we want to enrich our lives, if we want to connect with others who are different than us, if we want to see our community grow and prosper, right? So obviously, I think those are very, very good reasons as to why I would encourage most anyone to learn another language. At the very basis of it, learning another language opens up a new door to seeing how other people live life. To think that the only way to live on this planet is through the American lens, through the lens of someone who is shaped by the United States culture, it's not the only way to live. There are wonderful aspects of many cultures all around this globe. And so you enrich your life. You become a lifelong learner. You open your mind to something new and different. A case in point, a great example I like to use, Día de Muertos, Day of the Dead. This was a celebration that I was not familiar with prior to my journey into Spanish language learning. And I learned how wonderful of a holiday this is. It is a time to celebrate our lost loved ones. And by and large, in American culture, especially in my family, we did not talk about our ancestors. We did not talk about the people who had died. My parents didn't sit me down and say, this is where we come from. These are the people who, this is your family. This is what that looks like. That just didn't happen often. And so when I learned about Day of the Dead, it opened my eyes. I was like, wow, I want to be able to have conversations around death, heritage, who we come from, where we come from with our children. And I don't think that that conversation takes place that frequently in most American households. So that's just one example of how language opened up a different viewpoint that has helped shape how I want to have conversations in my own home with my own kids. One great example of how it's enriched our lives. I definitely, being an employee of the Chamber of Commerce, working in tourism, I have a lot of motivation to see our community grow and prosper. And it is not an opinion. It is blatant numerical fact of where our growth is currently coming from in Emporia, in the state of Kansas, and in the United States. And that is through Spanish-speaking immigration. And so there is just a very basic desire to want to make sure that when people enter our community, they can be successful. So you'd also pose the reverse question, do I think that Spanish speakers should learn English? Well, yes. But for the very same exact reasons, I think think that English speakers should learn Spanish. And it, very, very few of my reasons for them learning English has to do with any type of assimilation or culture. Just because English is the prevalent language doesn't really mean much. There's no law saying anyone must speak English. In fact, we're based on freedoms in this country that you can speak whatever you want to speak, you can believe whatever you want to believe, and you should be able, the American idea was that we could all come together and coexist despite those differences.
It's not a societal requirement. It's more of an individual expectation that people place upon others. And it brings me to my last question on this topic before we'll move on, and that is, if there is that expectation that if you come to America or any English-speaking country, that you should have to learn English, should the same not be expected in other places? I mean, if you're going to have it one way, should you not have it the other? I mean, it kind of flips that argument of, well, okay, but if that's the expectation for people coming here, then why should we not have that same expectation when we go somewhere else?
Most certainly. I do, at the risk of being a little bit harsh, I think it's partly laziness, or maybe to put it a little nicer, a factor of convenience. We have had the privilege of conveniently being able to speak our native language. Whereas you look at continents like, you know, Europe or South America, where even though Spanish is predominant, there's different dialects and languages. But in the U.S., we've been comfortable because English is the predominant language, not just here but abroad.
Yes, very much.
We can go somewhere, we can leave our country, go somewhere else, and they speak English to us. Everyone else has adapted that because it's the primary language of business and global economies and that kind of stuff. And even though it's convenient, my arguments are the same. Step out of your comfort zone. Try something that is a little bit hard. Learning a language is difficult. I can't act like it's going to be an easy journey. It's a long one. It requires a commitment. But I also think that it's rewarding. All the sayings, right? The best things aren't free, and good things come for those that work hard at it, right? All that kind of stuff. I think the rewards are every bit worth it, but it's really just a matter of, even though I don't have to speak another language, I want to because I should if I want to enrich my life.
Well, and Leland, to kind of close us down here, if people do want to learn a second language, specifically Spanish, and come through Emporia Spanish Speakers, what's some of the programming you offer to help them accomplish that?
Yeah. Well, we've really grown our offerings, and so I'll go from young and work my way up. I do believe one of the best things we could do is start younger, not because older learners can't learn as easily as a child. There's actually studies saying that the older folks can learn a language even late in life, and that it is extremely good at staving off things like Alzheimer's and things like that happen in the older years. But we offer a Los Puentes program. Bridges is for kindergartners through fifth graders. In fact, we have registration open this very moment at EmporiaSpanishSpeakers.com for a six-week fall program focused entirely on Dia de Muertos. And that six-week program will conclude the week of Dia de Muertos with a celebration and graduation ceremony at Dia de Muertos, just like we do in the spring for Cinco de Mayo. So that's a great opportunity to introduce our youth to Spanish language and culture, to start to embed at an early age that idea that not everyone thinks like us, looks like us, talks like us. And that's a wonderful thing. We have a language exchange. Once a month, we get together, typically the second Thursday of each month, and we have a true language exchange. We have native Spanish speakers who want to learn English and native English speakers who want to learn Spanish, and they come together and they just Spanglish it up and learn from one another.
I love that.
Because again, the purpose is connection and communication. Right. And so we can find some degree of perfect connection in that imperfect language mixture, and that's okay. And then early next year, we will be starting up our Se Habla Español program again. It will have a business theme, but anyone in the workplace that is interested in developing their Spanish language skills, could be managers, human resource office assistants, frontline customer service people, anyone in a business setting will be taking them on 2 6-week journeys. So the first 6 weeks leading up to spring break, very introductory, and then getting a little bit more advanced after a short break in a second 6-week block. And that whole program is predicated on the idea of making our storefronts, our businesses, a far more welcoming space, that we can strive to have better interactions, and that language isn't a barrier from customers getting, shopping in our stores, getting services and access to our programs, all that type of stuff.
I think I needed to text my wife because she's been trying to learn Spanish for the last several weeks. She's using some apps and things like that. I'm going to have to send her over to you and say, hey, if anyone's going to get you proficient, because she works at Graves and they have a very large amount of Spanish individuals that walk through their business. She's trying to help with that and be able to communicate a lot better. I think I just need to send her over to Leland Danes, and I think she'll be all right.
I want to say just a couple things about that Se Habla Español program. This will be the second time we've run it, so I can say that anecdotally from the first time, we had people in that program who just a few weeks in were coming to us, Jorge Brites, the instructor, and I, and saying, hey, I spoke Spanish with a customer today. Our bilingual person wasn't there, and I was able to help somebody. And I'm like, that's the whole point. That's what I want you to be able to do. Are you fluent in Spanish? No, not yet. But were you able to help somebody? Yes. Did you have the courage to engage with them with whatever limited Spanish you have? Yes. That's what we want to achieve there.
Helping people in any language can give you great gratification.
Correct. Yeah, and be on the lookout. We're going to be having a Google Translate workshop to educate people how powerful our phones are right here in our pocket and how you can talk to anybody of any language using a free application on your phone.
That's come so far.
Yeah. The other thing I'll say about Se Habla Español is that's actually a partnership with Emporia State University. And Eunice Sandoval Roman, who works there at the university, will be teaching that program. And I just want to give a shout out to say how wonderful this community is and how, like I mentioned at the top of the hour, how eager everyone is to work together and collaborate to make these types of things possible.
So my last question for you before we close things down, do you think there's ever any possibility that Emporia Spanish speakers might expand to other languages? We might see branches of this kind of move off and go forward.
Well, I know the name seems rather obvious. Emporia is where we're at. Spanish is what we wanted to learn, and speaking is what we were doing. But even then, when I very first started this club, I knew you could take Emporia and substitute any town, and I knew you could take Spanish and substitute any language. So, of course, my intention was on Emporia, but I knew it could be Emporia German speakers. It could be Emporia Mandarin speakers. All that it requires is a dedicated, motivated leader that wants to share their language and culture.
Fantastic.
That's all it takes. And we'd be happy to support that and share what we've done and what works and what doesn't.
If anybody wants to talk to you about that possibility, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. Google, and you'll find all my contact. My cell phone's out there, my emails. But regarding this, just go to EmporiaSpanishSpeakers.com. Contact information is on there. You can send us a message. I will receive that and we'll happily respond.
Well, Leland, gracias. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate you coming on here, and I think a lot of perspective given. And as always, just a fun conversation, man. The time really flies when we get put into a room together.
So. I really enjoyed it. I hope people are inspired and motivated, want to learn more. You know, everyone is always telling me, "Oh, I want to learn Spanish." Well, today's that day. Let's get started.
Yeah. Hey, visit EmporiaSpanishSpeakers.com. Reach out to Leland. Go through there. Take some of the programming. Take some information at least. Find out how you can kind of learn to broaden your horizons and your perspective by learning a second language. I will tell you, again, as somebody who speaks two additional languages, it is very informative and it's enriching. It's very, very eye-opening, and you feel more of a connection with other people. So, Leland, as always, my friend, thank you, sir. Always
my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure's all mine. That's going to wrap up the Talk of Emporia this Friday morning. Talk of Emporia will return on Monday at 11:06. As for now, we'll have the 12 o'clock block of news and information coming up here shortly on 14 KVOE, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com, live and local.
KVOE, live and local, 14. 14-